Existence is one of the perfections, one of the things that makes God the most perfect being. But that's part of God's definition to be the most perfect being. Therefore, God exists. It's part of his very definition. He's very unlike the unicorn. You don't define the unicorn that way. The unicorn's just a one-horned horse. Nothing follows from that about his existence. But the very definition of God as the most perfect being gives you the result that God exists. Okay, I hope you followed the gist of that argument. It's a very clever brain teaser of an argument. It really is extremely ingenious and wonderful as a piece of philosophical argument. I think anybody who hears it for the first time, or even for the 100th time in my case, thinks there's something very fishy with it. It's too clever by half. Something must be going wrong with that argument. To be able to prove that God exists simply from the definition of God, so all of the questions that people have raised, all the arguments people have brought up with God, all the doubts that have been raised about God, appeals to revelation, all of this is beside the point. As soon as you understand how God is defined, according to the ontological argument, you know for sure that God exists. God's existence is more certain than the existence of almost anything, according to this argument. There seems something very wrong with that. I mean, where, from the point of view of a religious person, what does it do with faith if you can establish God's existence so easily? Where is faith left by that? Well, what goes wrong with it? Well, the thing about this argument is there's no real consensus on what goes wrong. There's a consensus that something goes wrong. I mean, probably very few people think, yes, it's a good argument, it proves God exists. But what is it that goes wrong? That's not so easy to say. I'll give you my ideas about this. I've got two thoughts about it. One is this. There's something wrong with the idea of thinking that existence is a perfection, that existence is something that makes something superior to another thing. It's not clear that that's right at all. Some attributes do make one thing more perfect than another, but why does existence make one thing more perfect than another? Take a devil. Take a devil that exists and a devil that doesn't exist. Does the existence of the devil make the devil better than the one that doesn't exist? Or doesn't it make the devil worse because it's the existence of something bad? The existence of something bad doesn't make it better than it would be if it didn't exist, right? So it's a puzzling way to think, of course, that existence makes something better than non-existence. That already sounds like a very fishy way to talk. But how does existence make something more perfect, is the question. You're more perfect if you've got more virtues. That's understandable. You know, if somebody has the virtue of generosity and somebody else doesn't have it, they're more perfect. But how can existence itself be a moral virtue? And that just seems just the wrong way to describe existence. It's not that kind of thing. It doesn't add to perfection. That's one point, a familiar point that's been made. Another point about this is, what are we to make of this phrase, the most perfect conceivable being? Are we sure we understand what that really means? We can put those words together in that way, but what does it mean? Let's compare it with other phrases of the same general form. Suppose I talk about the most perfect conceivable dinner, or the most perfect conceivable musical performance, or the most perfect conceivable moustache. Suppose I say those. What do I mean by those things? Do they really refer to anything? They seem to like ill-formed expressions. What's the most perfect conceivable dinner? There can't be such a thing. The most perfect conceivable moustache? What does that even mean? We don't seem to have any clear idea what those phrases refer to. So do we really have a clear idea of what's meant by the most perfect conceivable being? Do we understand what's meant by the most perfect conceivable long jumper? It's not clear what that means. So the very phrase seems to be in doubt as to what it really means. So that's the ontological argument. As I say, it's an ingenious argument, but it's an argument which seldom convinces, and it certainly seems to be playing fast and loose with concepts in a way which makes it suspicious, although it's difficult to put your finger on an exact fallacy in the argument. So those are arguments, traditional arguments for the existence of God and traditional reasons for doubting them. But now we have to talk about arguments against the existence of God. Are there any such arguments which show or give reason to believe that there is no God? So far we've said that there are no good arguments that there is a God, but what about the idea that there might be arguments against the existence of God? What should we say about those? Well, there's a traditional one which you may well have heard of. It's called the problem of evil. And this argument is quite simple. It says, here, what are the characteristics that God is supposed to have? He's meant to be all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-good. Now, there's suffering in the world. Think bad things happen in the world. So God knows that they're happening. He has the ability to prevent them happening, and he has virtue, so he doesn't want them to happen. He doesn't want innocent people to suffer. So why doesn't God prevent the evil that occurs in the world? Why doesn't he prevent the suffering? If he didn't know that it was going on, you'd understand it. If he lacked power and so didn't prevent it, you'd understand it. If he didn't care, he wasn't all virtuous, you'd understand it. But how can you understand the existence of evil, given that he is all good, all-knowing, and all-powerful? Those three characteristics of God seem inconsistent with the fact that God permits evil to occur in the world. After all, if you knew that somebody was suffering and you could prevent it, even with only a modest amount of virtue, you would prevent it. You see the child about to be run over by a car. You know you can prevent it. You know that it won't even cause you any harm. So you prevent it. You'd think yourself a monster if you just let it happen.